You have hope. You have every reason to smile. And you should smile so much that people will ask you, why are you always smiling? You tell them, I have hope for tomorrow. I have hope for eternity. Hallelujah. I'm not a hopeless person. I have hope. And my hope is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The title of our sermon today is Complete Armor. Can we say that together? Complete Armor. And before we go to Ephesians chapter 6, which is where we'll be looking at today, I just want to sort of emphasize this point. You see, the only reason why you come into the presence of God whenever you do, yeah, is to be changed. And that must be your desire. You don't want to come to the presence of God and live the same. You wasted your time. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It's important that you understand. So you understand me as a pastor. If you want to understand my major drive as a pastor, is divine transformation. Divine transformation. I don't want to remain the same. You are not supposed to remain the same. You know why? Every time you contact God, something must give. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be God. So it's got to be you. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Let's just start here and then we'll come back to Ephesians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I'm sure that God will bless you today. I'm very sure about that. My usual style is to ask questions. I didn't do much of that last week. I did a lot of preaching. Today I'll go back into teaching mode and I will ask questions. Because I found out that questions are the way to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read verse 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. And again, the title again is Complete Armor. So who would like to read first today? We will go around. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Who will go first today? Yes, Fernando.
Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 16 to 18. Oh, sorry. 16 to 18, chapter 3. It says, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image.
Amen. Now, I know it's possible you've read this place before, but the Lord is passing a new message to you today. Now, listen. You can be in God's presence and remain the same, but that is a disaster. Let me explain this to you. You see, the children of Israel, they were traveling from bondage, the land of Egypt, into Canaan, the land of promise. Yeah, they traveled through the wilderness. In that wilderness, they saw food fall from heaven. They ate it. Meat came from the sky. They ate it. They saw God reveal Himself in the mountain of fire. Yeah? Yet, they all perished. I mean, the older ones in the wilderness. They tasted the power of God. They saw the beauty of God and the glory of God, but they never made the promised land. That is a disaster. You know why? Because their heart was veiled. Now you may say, oh, that was then. And now we're under grace. And because we're under grace, your heart is open. Let me explain to you. Every time you come into the presence of God, and your heart is closed, there's a veil. So there's no change. You hear the same message. You sing the same songs. But there's no change. Months, weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. Yeah? You become religious. You know the pattern. Yeah? But there is no transformation. Because the veil is there. And that veil is that your heart is closed. Hallelujah. But that's not God's plan. The Bible says that whenever someone, look at the key. Whenever. Can you say whenever? Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 16. Read from your Bible. Read from your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. You there? Let's read together. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Let's do it two more times. Read it again. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken again. One more time. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You get the point? Whenever someone turns to the Lord, it's a problem of attention.
Hello?
It's a problem of what? Attention. Please turn to your neighbor. Say, does God have your attention? Ask your neighbor. Ask them. Say, does God have your attention today? It's the key. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, see the key word there? Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Hallelujah. Someone else will say it this way. He will say, get serious with God. Mean business with God. The moment you decide to mean business with God, the moment you decide to focus, yeah? Turn your focus and you focus on Him. You are ready for Him. The veil what? Melts away. Hallelujah. The veil melts when your heart is focused on Him. The veil is what? Taken away. You may read the Bible from time to time and you don't understand what's going on. Because a lot of things are going on in your heart. Yeah? You are thinking of that and this and that. Yeah? Your heart is in many things. Your vision is not single. Your focus is not single. But the moment you decide that, you know what? I'm ready for God. The veil will melt away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says there, now, when the veil is taken, let me now show you the plan of God for you. Verse 17. The moment the veil is taken away, you begin to understand that the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's freedom. You know, one of the things that human beings will fight most for, you know, one of the most precious things to human beings that they are ready to die for is freedom. Hallelujah. When people are enslaved or in bondage, they will fight their best. The art of man resists slavery and bondage naturally. Do you understand? We fight for freedom. Freedom is very important. But Bible is saying that there is a physical freedom, but there is much more a spiritual freedom. People may be free. You know, like in this country, it's a free country. Yeah? People are free physically. But spiritually, they are what? They are bond. Hallelujah. You see, you may see someone that looks healthy physically, but they are under the yoke of depression. So physically, they are okay. You check them. You know, check all the details of their body. Nothing is wrong. But in their mind, they are in bondage. And that affects the quality of their life. Amen? But Bible says when the Spirit of the Lord, when the veil is taken away and the Spirit of the Lord begins to take its full place in your life, yeah, you are free. You are free to now live the life that God made you, called you to live. You see, when God made you, He called you to live a life. Yeah? And when the Spirit of the Lord begins to dominate your heart, all those things that used to trouble your life, yeah, fade into insignificance. You are now free. Even when problems come, you're not handling them alone. You know that God is by your side. Hallelujah. You ask Him, so Father, oh, I need to find an accountant. I don't even know where that accountant is, but Father, that's, I need to find an accountant. I inform Him and I relax. Days later, I begin to get some ideas. But I'm no longer trying to solve this problem by myself. You know, like my brother said, you know, He is the father of the fatherless. He is the husband of widows. He is your Father who will never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. You have Him by your side. And let me tell someone something about this Father. This Father, yeah, is the source of all things good. He can do everything. He can provide. You know when God wants to provide your needs, it's very simple. God will just connect you with somebody. That's all. Amen? If I have a need for fresh farm produce, I don't need to start crying. God will just connect me with my sister, Frida. Yeah? And you just take me to our farm and I'm okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If I need a nice meal, let's assume that my wife has traveled and I need a very nice meal. And I'm just like, oh Lord, I don't need to worry. I pray to my father. He will just connect me with Sister Chipo. And I'm okay. Sorted. No microwave. Everything fresh. Hallelujah. He said the Lord is the Spirit. And when the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. It's freedom you want. But you see, the freedom that the devil offers you is not freedom. But the one that God offers you is freedom. Your spirit is free. Free to fellowship with God. Free to love people. Don't you know it's freedom? There's a freedom you experience when you can forgive somebody and let go. Imagine somebody gave you a dirty slap. What? And you just look and you forgive him and let go. It's freedom. You're no longer bound. You understand? They can carry their trouble away. But you forgive them and you let go. That's freedom. Someone hurt you bad. Yeah? Instead of sitting under the bondage of that hurt. Yeah? You let go and release. You can't do it in your power. But where the Spirit of God dominates you, you're free. You can walk away. You can smile. Anyway, in the midst of adversity, times are tough, but you're smiling. But you're not smiling because you're a fool or you're crazy. You're smiling because you know the God you have. Hallelujah. And you know that it will come true for you. Hallelujah. It's freedom. Freedom to love people. You know, someone is succeeding. You're not jealous. Hello? So maybe there's something you want, but someone else by your side got it. But because you're free, you're not jealous. You wish them well. You celebrate with them. You know that your own time is coming. Hallelujah. You know that your father has a good plan for your life. Hallelujah. Like I was saying last week, if you know that you belong to God, you are located. You are located. You are not lost. Hallelujah. Life may present some top challenges. But if you hold on to God, it will see you through. To me, that is freedom. Hallelujah. People will hurt you. That's what people do. Are you with me? People will disappoint. That's what they do. But God will not let you down. Hallelujah. In my experience as a child of God, over the last 30 years of my life, one of the things that has touched me most about my walk with God is that I have a freedom to love people and to love God. It's so, you know, it's so deep. You know, sometimes I wonder, I sit with my wife and I wonder, you meet people that you've never known before, but you're just able to love them. You know, it's not because they are your blood brother or sister, but because the love of God is in you. Hallelujah. And you're able to appreciate them that God made them. Hallelujah. And you're able to wish them the best. Hallelujah. That's freedom. Amen. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's why, you know, the last thing I want in my church, it's not my church, the Church of Jesus, but when I say my church, I mean the church I'm a part of. Because this church is not my church, it's the Church of Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. I'm the representative of Jesus, but the real owner is Jesus. Amen? So when I say my church, I mean the church I belong to. The last thing I want is an atmosphere of strife and envy and confusion. And somebody's angry with somebody, and then they're not going to talk to them. Or, you know, the last thing I want in my church is where people come to church and they're dressing to impress each other. The spiritual life is gone. Are you with me? When you're coming to church on Sunday, yes, come looking nice. Hallelujah. But that must not be your motivation. Your motivation when you're coming to church is that I want to go and feed on the Lord. I want to fellowship. I want to praise God. Those spiritual things should be your motivation. Hallelujah. When the physical things become your motivation to go to church, there is a problem. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of the Lord is, you are set free even from the pressure to impress. Hallelujah. You are set free from the pressure to impress. Because the veil has been taken away. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say the veil has been taken away. Look at verse 18, and then we go to Ephesians 6. Verse 18 says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see. Because if you can't see, the problem. Big problem. But when you can now see, what happens? Then you can reflect the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. I like the old King James, the way he puts it. He said, we all, with unveiled face or open face, as we continue to behold, as in a mirror, the glory of God, we are being what? Changed. Another version we say, transformed. That's why I came there in the first place. I was just trying to point to the transformation. That if indeed you are walking with God, and you are listening to the word of God, and you are fellowship with the Spirit of God, there's only one result, which is change. And believe me, it's not God changing for you. It's you changing to become more and more like him. Hallelujah. Such as I say, my destiny is to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what? It is achievable. Let me tell you the proof why it's achievable. If it was not achievable, Jesus will still be here physically. Jesus was so confident that we can represent him that he went away. That's why he said he is the head and we are the body. When last did your head cook you food? He can't. It will direct, but the body needs to. The head functions through the body. Amen. We are the body of Christ. It means that Christ directs. But on earth, Christ can only function through us. And Christ was so confident about our ability to become like him that he went. Hallelujah. If he's not confident, he will be here. He went because he's confident that we as his body can function for him. That's why I'm sure that you can be like Jesus on this earth. The word of God proves it. Jesus being in heaven today proves it. Hallelujah. The only barrier is the veil. And when your heart, when you focus your heart on him, you are ready. Say, I'm all yours. Say, I just want to stay here. I can appreciate on this message. Because I know if you can get this, you got it. If you understand that God, working with God will not destroy your life. Working with God will not deny you of the best things in life. You understand? The things you are chasing, if you walk with God and trust him, he will yet provide them for you in his blessing. But if you decide not to walk with God and you chase them, they will take you away from God. Hallelujah. So if you chase them, you will lose twice. You may not get them, and you also lose God. When I say lose God, I mean you will lose the best that God has for your life. But when you trust God, you walk with God, remember that you care about those things, but God also cares because he loves you. Hallelujah. What you want, God cares about it. Hallelujah. So if you trust God with your life, you focus your heart on him and you seek to follow him and to do his will. The things you want and need, he will provide them. As you know what? Let me tell you how God provides. As you walk with God, he will give you idea and instruction. That's how he provides. Hello? What you've been cracking your brain for and say, oh, how can I sort it? How can I sort that? As you begin to walk with God, as you deepen yourself in prayer, as you deepen yourself in the word of God, as you deepen yourself in fellowship with believers, you wake up in the morning, God will give you an idea or an instruction. That is the key to what you want. Hallelujah. It will come with freedom. Hello? It will come what? With freedom. Everybody say freedom. Come on, you didn't say freedom. Who doesn't like to be free? Mirabel, do you like freedom? Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. You want to be free from your mom? Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to make Agnes read this one. Ephesians chapter 6. Agnes, are you still there? Say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. You see now you have a friend. I thought you are the first member of the youth church. Now you have other members joining you. Before you know it, we are fully operational. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13. Let's do that, then we'll go to 14 to 18. But let's do 10 to 13 first. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 13.
Finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Clothe yourselves with the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world's rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand your ground on the evil day, and have done everything to stand.
Again, I'm sure that you are familiar with this place. So my focus is just to consider what God wants to show you. Let me read it again for emphasis. It says, final word. It says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord. Can you turn to your neighbor? Turn to your neighbor. Tell them, say, be strong in the Lord. You see, it's not an advice. It's a command. Be strong in the Lord. Why do you have to be strong in the Lord? It says, put on all. See, everybody say all. All. It has to be all. Sometimes I say all or nothing. All of God's armor, so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not contending with flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece. You can see this is the third time he's saying all, every. So you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Hallelujah. The fact that God is unseen does not mean he doesn't exist. The fact that angels are unseen does not mean they don't exist. And the fact that devils, don't know why. The fact that devils are unseen does not mean they don't exist. In fact, God wants to open your spiritual eyes right now. You will look up and you will see angels and demons. They're there. They're always there. Did you know that? They operate in the heavenlies. Yeah? And they try to dominate human beings on earth. Are you with me? And what the Bible is saying is this. The reason why you have to be strong in the Lord is because the devil is always operating. He doesn't take holiday. Are you with me? The devil doesn't go on holiday. Have you ever thought about it? It's a very sad life. He doesn't go on holiday at all. He's busy. The Bible says he's going to and fro. You know me, to and fro. He'll go this way. Oh, those scan. Oh, we cannot find. And the Bible says that he said, your enemy, the devil, is going to and fro. He's seeking whom to devour. I try to explain that. That means that the devil is looking for an opportunity, any opportunity, half an opportunity to just devour anybody. I'm a child of God. The devil cannot devour me. Oh, yeah. He can't if you put on all the armor. If you don't need the armor, Paul will not waste his time writing to you to put it on. That means you are okay. The reason why he's writing you is because you need it. In fact, he says it three times. Put on all, put on every, put on all. Because there are strategies of the devil. Some are very clear. Some are not so clear. There are some decisions we make in our life that when you are making that decision, you don't really know it's the wrong decision. It looks okay. Some things appear very good. And that if you are not watching and praying, you will not know actually that it's a strategy of the devil. That's why you can't know it just with your brain power. See what I mean? You cannot identify the devil just with your brain power. You need spiritual alertness. And that comes through the old armor of God. Amen? If you are going to live victoriously, do you want to live victoriously? Do you want to live in victory all the time?
Yes.
yes, 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 I know. Because I was, why didn't you say, you know? Then you need your complete armor. Amen. That way you can keep the devil down all the time. Amen. You see, God has not left you in a position whereby you are merciless, you are hopeless against the devil. Are you with me? He has given you every tool that you need to defeat the devil every time. Every time. It's not like maybe you win some and you lose some. If you put on all the armor of God, you will defeat the devil every single time. Amen? Let's look quickly into what we're talking about. So I hope to round up in 10 minutes. Verse 14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Let me just break that down quickly. What is the belt of truth? Let me ask, what is the belt of truth? Take two answers. What is the belt of truth? He says you should put on the belt or the girdle of truth. What is the belt of truth?
Is the word.
The word, yes. I need a more imaginative answer. I'm not saying that is wrong. That is right, actually.
I'll get back. I'll say the truth is the spirit.
The truth is the spirit, yes. Okay. One more answer. What is the belt of truth? He says you should put on the belt of truth. First of all, what does the belt do? To the armor. So imagine a soldier, not like now, in the old time, Roman soldier, they put on all their body armor and whatever, and then the belt. So the first thing you know about your belt is that the belt doesn't come first. So you understand that Ephesians 6 is not talking in order of how you put it on. The belt comes actually last. When you put everything together, you then. So what does your belt do for you? Anytime you wear a belt, what does it do for you?
It tightens you up. It strengthens you to stand.
The belt of truth. You want to say something about it? I saw your hand.
Oh yeah, that's what I wanted to say about. But the belt kind of smartens up your dressing.
Amen. Is that you? Any idea? Well, I'm coming back to you. Don't worry. The belt. You know what the belt does or a girdle? It holds you firm. It holds you together. You know, like, you don't want, I mean, if I take off my belt now, my trouser will fall down. God forbid. The belt saves you from embarrassment. It keeps things, for the soldier, the belt is much more. It's around that belt they will keep all the, you know, some extra, you know, tools. They stick it. Even like the cowboys, their belt, that's where they'll put around, they'll put the gun or whatever. The belt holds your armor together. Yeah. No doubt about it. Jesus said in John 17, he says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So we know the word of God is truth. But the importance of truth is this. Yeah? You don't just walk away with the interpretation you want to have of the word of God. If you have the wrong interpretation of the word of God, it will compromise your stand against the devil. That's why in this church, one of the things, you know, one of our primary driving points is that we are focused on truth. Truth is not always palatable. You know why? Because truth does not change. If it changed, it's not truth. And I keep telling him, I said, God himself has not changed. If you read the Old Testament, you read the New Testament, you think it's two different gods, you're making a mistake. It's exactly the same God. If you think that Jesus Christ just came in the New Testament, you're making a mistake. Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament. He is. Was I saying this last week? Anytime God appears, it's Jesus. Because no man has seen God at any time. Even when God appeared to Abraham, who appeared? Is Jesus. Many times in the Old Testament, when Jesus appeared, they call him the angel of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the same God. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Build your life on truth. Don't run away from truth. Truth may not sound nice, but truth is what has the power to make you whole. If you allow the truth to confront you, yeah, your life will become better. But if you try to, but you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says we can do nothing against the truth. Have you ever read it? Please find it for me, Brother. It's good to just. He said, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. You know what that means? It means that anytime you are trying to do something against the truth, like to hide it, to cover it, to compromise it, to panel beat it, you are only going to lose. You understand? Because that truth will not change. Anytime you are trying to deny or live in denial, you are just living in deception. Some people like to live in deception. I don't like it. Some people like to, you know, don't tell me, just tell me nice words, you know, make me feel good. Tell me that God loves me all the time. He does. But you are not the only person God loves. He also loves the sinner on the street. Did you know that? Hello? Do you know that God also loves Hitler? But that doesn't mean he won't go to hell. Are you with me? The Bible says God so loved the world. He gave his only son that whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. What of those who don't believe? The Bible says he that does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has rejected the only son of God. Are you with me? God loves you. But God will not break his word. God will not break his truth. You have to build your life on truth. Otherwise, all the armor you are trying to take together, yeah, it will fall apart. Because it's the belt of truth that holds it together. Are you with me? We can do nothing against it. Where do we have that? Did you find it? Let's go to it. Just for reference. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians 13:8. So I must round up in 5 minutes. I will round up. 2 Corinthians 13:8. Very important you understand this part of it. Maybe that's why Paul put it first. Because we know that the belt is not the first thing you put on, yeah? But why did he put it first? So he put it in first, he's trying to catch your attention. Whatever armor you put on, if your belt is wrong, they will fall apart. It holds it together. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:8. Someone else to read. Someone who has not read today. Someone who has not read today. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 8. I'll give you the mic if you've not read.
Okay. I'll come to you. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth.
Amen. Hallelujah. Look at people like, you know, the Emperor Nero and co. I don't know if you know the story. People who try to oppose Christianity, try to they killed believers, they opened them up to lions, they crucified them. But till now, Christianity is still surviving. You know what I like about Christianity? Christianity is not spread by force or by war or by compulsion. It's spread by preaching. Hallelujah. If the gospel had no power, Christianity should have died a long time ago based on human power. Because we're not using force. We preach the gospel. But Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Get it. You have to settle in your heart that you don't want to deceive yourself. So I tell you something. The worst thing you can do, one of the worst things you can do to yourself is to deceive yourself. Yeah? To call white black and to call black white. You are deceiving yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Speak truth to yourself. Be ready for the truth to confront you. Because when the truth confronts you, it can change. Yeah? When you deny the truth or you hide from the truth, you can't change. You understanding me? Be ready to allow truth to confront you. Let me back it up with another place. Let me start. Why still I'm on truth? Let me show you something. Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. The first letter of Paul to the first letter of John to the church. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. That's a little towards the end of your Bible. The books of John are the last books of the Bible apart from Jude. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. I'm still talking about truth. You know, it says 2 Corinthians, is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 13:8? It says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. What it simply means is that if you are opposing to it, you are wasting your time. You will lose in the final run. The truth will prevail. The truth will always win. The truth will always win. It may take time, but the truth will always win. If you build your life on truth, yeah, no matter what happens, No matter what, you may face persecution and trial and tribulation, but no matter, if you build on truth, you will win at the end of the day. Amen? Now, look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Can you, someone else read?
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Are you with me? Listen, you must build your life on truth. That is what guards your armor together. You see, he said, if we say that we have no sin, yeah, that means you deny your wrongdoing, you deny what you have done wrong. The Bible says, you are only deceiving yourself. You are not deceiving God. You are not even deceiving people of God. You are deceiving who? Yourself. And I think that means that if you say you have no sin, you are sinning against yourself. Because to deceive yourself is sinning against yourself. You can't tell yourself the truth. Are you with me? And there is no, what does he say there? We are deceiving ourselves, and what happens? And we are not living in the truth. Hello? But what's the solution? Verse 9. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says what? But if we confess our sins, what happens? He is faithful and just. Hallelujah. To forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that goes me to the next item. Quick, the next item, Ephesians chapter 6. And then I will jump to verse 18. We stop there. Ephesians 6, the next item, you know, after the belt of truth is what? Someone help me. After putting on the belt of truth, verse 14, what's your body armor? What's your body armor?
The breastplate of righteousness.
Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hello? Now, see the connection between truth and righteousness. Because the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from what? All righteousness. Amen. Now let me explain righteousness. What's righteousness? Let me take some answers. What is righteousness? What does righteousness mean? I'll give you the mic.
Right standing.
Right standing, yes. What else does righteousness mean? Anybody? Mr. Chipo, what does righteousness mean to you? A righteous man. Who is a righteous man?
Oh, yes, a right ruler.
Are you shy?
No, I'm just trying to think.
Okay, I'll give you time. Yes, I'll come back. What does righteousness mean?
Truthful. Being truthful.
Being truthful, yes.
To me, it's you having no sin. Okay. In here.
You having no sin. And then? Finally, Sister Chipo, of God.
Having a right relationship with God.
Having a right relationship. I like that answer. You know, because that's righteousness. You see, somebody may be good, but that doesn't make them righteous. You can only be righteous when you're in right relationship with the only person that is good, which is God. You understand? The only person, Bible says there's no one good except God. So what makes you good or righteous is to be in right standing or right relationship with God. Yeah? But righteousness means to be in right relationship with God and to produce fruit of right living. Because if you're in right relationship with God, you will naturally must produce fruit of right living. Hello? Hello? If God is rubbing off on me, you will see the sign. Hallelujah. And that sign will not be evil. Amen? And you see, that is your body armor. Your relationship with God, being right, is your body armor. And the key is this: as you are walking through life, you will make mistakes and you will sin. But don't deceive yourself, because if you do, you are not living in the truth. Instead, go back to God. Confess where you have missed it. He is faithful. He is already waiting for you. Hallelujah, because he was watching you where you missed it. He knows already. He will set you right. Hallelujah. And every time you miss it, you go back and make sure that you are in right standing. Don't keep your relationship with God to be aloof. Don't, you know, hide from God. Keep your heart tender before God all the time. Hallelujah. Maintain a right relationship with God all the time, because the price has been paid and the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse you. Now, if you stay in right relationship with God, it will become difficult for Satan to get into your life. Amen? Okay, let's begin to round up. Finally, go to verse 18 and I'll round up there for today. Verse 18. Ephesians 6:18. Can we read together? Ephesians 6:18.
Pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alive and be persistent in your prayers for believers.
Did you read what I just read? He said, if you want to maintain your complete armor and give the devil no chance. Somebody say no chance. He said, what you have to do? He said, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Whether in the family, whether on the street, in the car, on the bus, at church, at work, anywhere. Pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. At all times and on every occasion. And stay alert. And be persistent. That is, don't stop. Somebody say to someone, say, don't stop. I know sometimes you've prayed, but you stopped. Why did you stop? Don't stop. Hallelujah. You know why? The devil does not stop. Why will you stop? Keep praying in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Be persistent. Sometimes when you're praying in the spirit, you're not just praying for yourself. You are praying for the saints everywhere. That could include your family members in Africa or in Canada. You know, when you pray in the spirit, when you pray in tongues, you are ministering to needs that you may not know nothing about. Hallelujah. But there will be things that affect your life. Something may be coming up in your future you don't know nothing about. But as you pray in the spirit, consistent and persistent, you are settling it long before it happened. There's something that happened, you know, the Lord just called me and said, start praying about this. It's still in the future, but I start. Now, when you do that, by the time you enter that situation, you just at peace. You set it. You can't go any other way. It has been settled. You know what prayer does? Prayer shapes your future. Hello? Say to your neighbor, say, prayer shapes my future. That's why I need to pray. We round up there, and that's why, let me just round up on this note. That's why you should be at prayer meeting. If you are not at work. Auntie Frida, are you at work tonight? She normally does weekend shift. Oh, were you at work yesterday night? No. Day, okay, fine. If you are not at work, come to prayer meeting and pray. You will not die, I assure you. I guarantee you, such people. It will not. I mean, of course, if your husband is working, that's understandable. There's no issue. But if you are not, it's 1.5 hours, and I believe you. The times I didn't go for prayer meeting, I just stayed at home watching TV for 1.5 hours. Sometimes you watch news for 1 hour, you finish, you're depressed. Yeah? The news can never activate your faith. Have you noticed? It will never activate your faith. Are you with me? Come to prayer meeting. Come to prayer before service. You will be shaping your future. Hallelujah. You will be keeping the devil at bay. You know, the devil, I don't like to talk too much about the devil, but one of the characters is a madman. He has not he's not principled. God is principled. You understand? But Bible calls the devil a thief. Are thieves principled? Do they follow the rules? He's not. So you cannot bank on him. That okay, I know that he will not come near. You can't guarantee anything. Are you with me? But as you stay alert and you continue to pray in the spirit, every occasion, in the bathroom, when you're doing your work, so long you're not going to disturb anybody, pray in the spirit. And let me give you a final key of when you need to pray is anytime you are feeling unhappy or you're feeling troubled. Either praise God or pray. Yeah? Don't look for something to cool you down. If you are feeling unsad, unhappy, troubled in your spirit, it's a sign that you either need to praise God or you need to pray. Let's round up there. Let's pray. Just talk to God this morning.